Okay, good morning, and thank you again, Ron, for your study. We look forward to continuing to hear some of the questions you have, because that's the way I operate as well, is I have a question and then I got to seek it out. And that opportunity to spend time in the Word is what, you know, keeps me moving, keeps me going forward, keeps me with a desire to learn. Today's date is the 14th of January, 2024. Speaker is Forrest Cottrell. Topic today is the mystery, and it is the sixth session in the series, which started out with the question of why does God have secrets and not make it clear for everybody to see and or to understand. But I have four other questions, and we talked a little bit about it last time when I spoke, and because I only speak once a month, some of you may not have heard the last one or may not have able to connect the context of the studies that I started out with, hearing, seeing, and understanding, and obviously then the mystery plays into that portion or that thought process. So my other questions was, who is the mystery revealed to? When was it revealed? What is the actual mystery, which we talked about last time, and I'll be covering again today. But then most importantly for today's study is the continuation of that, and the fifth question is, what is the impact of the mystery that was revealed? And so that's where we're headed today. And as I said, this was a continuation where we started, where the Lord in Mark 4:22 and 23 states, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." But there are things that Christ taught in parables, and his own disciples didn't even understand it. So he explained it to his disciples, but he didn't explain it to the masses. And so in Matthew 13:11, he says, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And he goes on in verse 35 of Matthew 13, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret." And then note this phrase, "from the foundation of the world." The foundation, we know, is the casting down. We would call that the recreation. It's things that are hidden since everything started, if you will. And so it's since creation. He uses in these two verses both secret and mysteries, which is the word mysterion. And he uses the phrase similar to "from the foundation of the world" in Romans. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Or in other words, from the foundation of the world. So some secrets are based on timing in terms of when they're revealed. Some are revealed along the way. They're obscured. But some are not revealed at all. No one knew about the mystery. So there's a mystery then in Ephesians 3 verses, verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 5. And so Paul says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me," so this is to answer the question, who is the mystery revealed to? "Unto me, Paul, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it was Paul that was revealed the mystery, and Paul only. So it was never, ever revealed previously. And in verse 6 he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made minister, only I, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. So it was never revealed since the foundation, or from the foundation, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And note that principalities and powers in heavenly places are mentioned here. It wasn't mentioned in the previous dispensation. So when was this revealed? It's not been revealed from the beginning of the world. It was never prophesied. But in Acts 28:28, we read that, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. It's confirmed then in 1 Timothy 3:16, which says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So some Gentiles did hear, some do hear yet today, but there is no longer a Jew or Gentile. There is one new creation or new man, as in Ephesians 2:14. It says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So this middle wall of partition, if you've seen a synagogue in Israel, there is a court, if you will, with about a 3-foot wall surrounding it, and that is where the adult men sit that are Jews. Gentiles, women and children sat around that area. And Paul's saying here, we've broken down that wall. There is no differentiation between Jew and Gentile, but there is now one new man. And Paul wants to tell that as broadly and as boldly as possible. Ephesians 6:19 says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, this is different because he is in bonds because of this mystery, and that he's revealed it. But if you go back to Acts 28:20, which is obviously written before 28:28, Paul says, for this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So all the way up to Acts 28:20, where Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he meets with the elders, if you will, from the Jewish community there, he says, for the hope of Israel I'm bound. And yet, 8 verses later, he is revealing that the Gentiles now will hear that the salvation is sent to the Gentiles. So in Colossians, Paul talks about his ministry or stewardship or dispensation, if you will, all pretty much the same word, as a minister to fulfill the word of God by telling the mystery or secret. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, what is the mystery? I just read it to you, or part of it, or the catalyst of it, if you will, the basis of it. The secret here is that he is speaking to Gentiles, and he says, uses the phrase Christ in you or Christ among you. And what he's saying now is that there is no longer a mediator between man and God, which the Jews were. They were a kingdom of priests. They were to tell the Gentiles, they being a chosen nation, they were to tell the Gentiles about the fact that there was an opportunity for salvation. But they didn't, unless they became a proselyte, unless they followed the law. So now there is no mediator. Now there is no high priest, because Christ, who would have been the high priest had they accepted him, is now the only mediator, and we have a direct relationship with Christ, Christ as being God. So, wow, no wonder the Jews threw a fit, right? When Paul revealed this secret that, hey, you don't have a position that is elevated any longer, because now the salvation is sent to the Gentiles. There's no preference. There's no high priest. And that the Gentiles would hear. In Ephesians 4:11 through 22, a long passage here, but it's needed to be read. It says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a sad state Gentiles were in. And that's why the Jews were to be a holy priesthood to him, to them. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This new creation, this new man, includes the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:9 and 10. I'm sorry, just verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head, not the king, not the high priest, but to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So, having revealed this mystery, let's break things down and say, what's the impact of this? And so I'm going to repeat myself just a little bit here. Hopefully it won't be redundant. And Chico, thank you again for posting this. I know it's somewhat tedious, and you're doing a great job. But we start with Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And so you see why I started with hearing, seeing, and understanding, so that do we fully understand the impact of this statement? And there's three aspects here, because there's three key words that are imperative to understand. And by understanding, we have a better idea of, wow, what a change this was. So the first word, there's three words, therefore, sent, and salvation. The first word, therefore, tells us that something is about to change because the Jews had rejected the prophets. They had rejected the Son, Christ Jesus. They had rejected the apostles and disciples. And they finally were rejecting the message that Paul was giving them, who was the apostle of Christ and a minister unto the Gentiles. The second word there is sent. It's different than the term Paul uses in other meetings with the Jews when they rejected his message. And he said that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn. Note the word is turn to the Gentiles. That's in Acts 13:46. In Acts 15:19, it says Gentiles are turned to God. And in Acts 18:6, it says, for henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So turning and going are not the same, because that was Paul. But now the salvation of God is sent directly to the Gentiles through no other mediator but Christ himself. And that word salvation is the person Christ Jesus. It is a noun, Yeshua. It is the same word used in Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. It is the Hebrew word Yeshua, which is Joshua in the Greek. And it means salvation. It is the salvation, capital S, because it is the person. You know it's the person. It's not just being saved. It is the person, because it's his reward. Excuse me, his reward is with him. His work is before him. So, other impacts now. Second one, there is one mediator between man and God. So we don't need the Jews as a holy priesthood. They gave up their position, they gave up their power, and they gave up their authority. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And in Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, one mediator. And as we continue with the third impact, we are chosen just as Israel was chosen, but we're not promised the land. Instead, we're promised spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Note, before the foundation of the world. Whoa, 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 whoa. So we were chosen before Israel. We were chosen before Abraham, before Noah, before Adam. Yeah. We were chosen in him before the foundation. We are first-round draft choices. You've heard me say that before. That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Next impact, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is a new creation or new man, and we are joint heirs. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11, we read this earlier. To the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us all, abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, being Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. No Jew or Gentile, Ephesians 2:14, we read that earlier, for he is our peace with both, who hath made both one, and having broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Ephesians 3:1 through 11. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And we read all of this earlier, but the verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. In verse 9, and to make all men see that that is the fellowship of the mystery, all men, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ. And that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. This is just absolutely earth-shattering to the Jews, but wow, what an opportunity for us. Ephesians 4:23, and he renewed be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a new man. It's a new creation. It's not a reformation of the hope that the Jews had, and therefore to be a proselyte, you are brought into that hope. But instead, we are a new man, a new creation. The fifth impact, believe in Christ Jesus as God and Savior and our head, no longer the king, no longer a kingdom, but the body and the church. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The pleroma, the fullness, the completeness. It's done. It's filled. In Ephesians 5:29, for no man ever hath hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We're all one body, just as a man and a woman that come together in marriage become one flesh. They are one mind, one spirit, one flesh. We are one with Christ. The sixth impact, major impact. By grace are you saved, not of works. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Jews were not promised that, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it's not our works, but because of being Christ's workmanship, we were created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, and that we should walk worthy, as it says in Colossians 1:10. And the seventh major impact, we are complete in Christ. No rituals or ordinances or law. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of the principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that would be commandments, that would be rituals, etc. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It was done then, but it wasn't revealed till now. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. He's saying that there is no reason to continue in those things of the world when we are in Christ, because he completed everything. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so I know that there are other aspects of the mystery that we can search out. I've given you the seven most prominent ones, the biggest differences. And so just as a review of that, before the mystery was revealed, salvation was sent to Israel, but now salvation is sent to the Gentiles. Before, there was a kingdom on earth, but now there is a heavenly calling. Before, they were Jews. Now we're a new creation. Before, they were Christ as king of a chosen nation. Now Christ is the head of the body. Before, there was the law. Now there are no ordinances. Before, there was a kingdom of priests. Now there is one mediator, Christ Jesus. Before, there were earthly blessings. And now we have heavenly spiritual blessings that we look to. And that completes this series. Hopefully you have heard, and hearing you see, and by seeing you understand. And that you understand the impact of this mystery that Paul died defending. And it's great that Ron is talking about the different dispensational positions of Paul's writings, pre-Acts 28, post-Acts 28, and by rightly dividing, we can discern these differences and see the changes that were made because the message that was being delivered was rejected again. And therefore, in Acts 28:28, salvation was sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it, and they will understand it. And my question is, I hope you understand the impact of this mystery. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have opened our eyes of understanding, that we might see this mystery and know it and understand it. Of all the mysteries, of all the secrets that are within the Bible that we can seek out, this one mystery that Paul revealed, and only Paul was given to reveal. What an impact that has. And we are so grateful that you've revealed it to us, that you have chosen us before the foundation because we would hear, because we would understand. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. I'm thankful that you have given us a voice to speak boldly and that we will continue to do so. And we will do so through the strength of Christ Jesus, our Lord, God, and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.